You're listening to the Igniting Souls podcast with Cary Oberbrunner, devoted to helping you become a soul on fire.
Igniting Souls podcast, this is Cary Oberbrunner, your host. Welcome to episode 64. When should you fire a client? Why doing work for anybody with money will kill you and your business. We've been getting a lot of great emails, messages, feedback. You guys have enjoyed the recent episodes. I've had a blast. And we're going to dive into all about the right type of clients. And should you just take money from anybody? Or how do you select the right clients? And this podcast episode fires me up because it is so essential and I rarely hear people talk about it. A lot of times we just think, oh, you know, people are showing up and they have cash in their hands and I should just take them. Not at all. That could kill you. So we're going to talk about what's a grid for the right clients. How do you find them? Before we dive into that though, I have had an absolute blast with the My Book Hook interaction that many of us have had. If you missed it, this is a free 7-day course that David and I created mainly because you asked for it. You know, a lot of people have been writing in and saying, Cary, how do I know if I have a good book idea or a good business idea? I've been studying idea anatomy for quite a while now. And what I've realized is there's essentially 7 stages that an idea needs to go through to make it from an average idea to a killer idea. And that was all about last episode. So if you want more on that, episode 63. But as a result, we created a free 7-day video course. This is me in your email inbox one time a day for 7 days straight, taking you through key exercises and actions with a template so you can basically create that killer idea. Now, it's called My Book Hook because we use books as a backdrop, if you will, but you can really use the 7-day stages or phases for anything, business idea, ministry idea, whatever, even relationship idea. Why not? So if you have not gone to mybookhook.com, it's absolutely free. Plus, I show up and I interact with you through the Facebook comments. So this is like me and you together collaborating on your idea. Super cool. It's free. You know, if you've already gone through it and you thought it was fantastic, share it with somebody else. Because we need more good ideas in the world. Not all ideas are created equal, for sure. And then, back by popular demand, on Wednesday, April 20th, at 1 p.m. Eastern, although it will be recorded, but you need to text the word publish, publish to 33444, 33444. Wait, let me see, 33444. I think that's it. So do that. And when you text the word publish to 33444, what happens is you get an automatic ebook, which is fantastic. But then it also puts you, it asks for your email. And what's going to happen then is this is the training that over 30,000 people have now watched. Literally, 30,000 people have tuned in to this webinar live over the past year and a half. Why? Because I pull back the curtain and I literally tell you like the absolute unfiltered truth about what options you have these days, self-publishing, what are the pros and cons, the dirty little secrets that nobody's telling you, traditional publishing, is it really all it's cracked up to be? Folks, my 12-year career in the writing, publishing and marketing. I mean, all sides of the table. I've ghostwritten 3 books. I've been published 6 times traditionally. My next book, I'm actually choosing to publish that myself, but through Author Academy Elite. Helped now over 200 authors, coached them. So folks, this is gold. Okay, after you watch this webinar, you will know more than 95% of the publishing industry experts. That's how crazy it is. So we only do this a few times, but a lot of people said, Cary, I missed it, or I heard about it, or my friend said I should check it out. So you text the word publish to 33444, and you will be good to go. Awesome. Oh yeah, and then once you get that text back, shoot your email, and then they'll sign you up. And again, even if you can't listen to it live, we will shoot you the recording. All right, well, let's talk about clients, good clients, bad clients, toxic clients, killer clients. While I start out this conversation, let me just say, I literally wake up every day thrilled because of the clients I get to work with. It's not by luck. It's not by chance. It's totally by design. So I literally have the best clients in the world. It's the Igniting Souls tribe. And if you are one of the clients, you know that we have a very private coaching group that you have access to with people from all over the world. But I tell my wife, I tell my business partner, I tell my friends that like to serve the clients that I have, it's a blessing. Doesn't mean it's always easy, but it is an honor and I absolutely love it. And we've created a system that doesn't attract the toxic clients. So let's jump right into it. When I first started and went pro with my passion, I pretty much would take anybody, you know? And if you're one of my 5-year-old clients, doesn't mean that I'm not excited about you. But when I first started, I just was, you know, knowing that we needed some critical mass. And in the beginning, I took on some clients that I totally regret taking on. They're not around anymore for a reason. Because these types of clients will actually drive you, your staff, your company to the ground. Like, you couldn't pay me enough to work with certain people. Certain people are never going to be happy. They're always going to be entitled. They're always going to be haters. They're always going to be critical, gossipy, angry, unsatisfied, whatever. Now, that's very rare. Or there's clients that just want drama, the drama people. And these drama people love the fact that they get attention. So they will create drama wherever they go because it makes them feel validated. And when you sign up for any one of these clients, what you're really doing is you're giving your best thinking, your best energy, your best, your best self to them. And as a result, when you go to create again, or you go to design, or you go to build within your business, you can't do it because your headspace is all around that. So I want you to draw here's what I want you to do. You know, like a window pane, right? Right. You got a big square and then a cross in the middle. Can you guys do that for me? Like, this will absolutely help you. This is a matrix. And I got this from Michael Hyatt, but I'm going to expound upon it and kind of share my thoughts about it. So think about a big square, and then in it are 4 quadrants. Got it? So 4 quadrants. There are certain clients that are going to be high profit, and low maintenance. You guys get it? High profit, low maintenance. They're in the top left corner. Now let's go to the bottom left corner. These people are low profit, low maintenance. So you're still low maintenance, okay? One's high profit, one's low profit, but the left side of the square is low maintenance. On the right side of the square, you have high profit and high maintenance, top right. And then underneath that, you have low profit and high maintenance. Now think about that for a moment. Again, top left, high profit, low maintenance. Below that, low profit, low maintenance. Flip over to the right side, high profit, high maintenance. And then on the bottom side, right, low profit, high maintenance. Here's what the reality is, folks. I want you to put names and faces, all right? I want you to draw a square, and here's what this will do for you. If you can literally sit down and think about this, and you might not know these people yet. You might be just starting out in your business, and you might say, Cary, I don't really have anybody yet. Okay, no problem. Which one do you think you should have? Do you think you should have people who are low profit and high maintenance? No. You get a bunch of low profit, high maintenance people, your family's going to curse you and say, what are you doing? Like, we're making pennies and you're being sucked away in your life. And you show up pretty empty because they drain you. Check this out, folks. Everyone is a plus or minus. What do I mean by that? In relationships, everyone is a plus or minus. They are a giver or they are a taker. Nobody's neutral. So another test that you can do before we get back to the quadrants is, I call it the caller ID test. We all have people that are clients that if they showed up on our caller ID, we would literally have happy feelings. We would be like, awesome, fantastic. I can't wait to pick this up, or if it's in your email inbox or whatever, you know, or a ticket shows up for your conference with their name on it, you know, through your email inbox, whatever. The point is this: certain people bring good feelings to you, but there are other people who show up on your email inbox, your caller ID, your Facebook Messenger, and you are thinking, oh my gosh, somebody give me a gun. Now, it's not that these are bad people, and the gun's not to shoot them, the gun's to shoot you, right? But they're not bad people, but they literally drain you. They are not life-giving. They are not abundance-minded. So a lot of times people say, like, Cary, how the heck do you create a tribe full of abundant-minded, life-giving people? It's tricky. It's tricky, but we've done it. And what we do is we reward certain behavior. We showcase certain behavior. If you just give your best attention to all the people who are creating drama, you will have a tribe full of drama people. You will have a clientele base of people that you just cannot humanly satisfy them anymore. And I don't know about you, but I love to deliver goodness. I love to serve people. I love to make people feel good. I really do. It's not my goal to under-deliver. I love to over-deliver and surprise and wow. So there are certain people, though, that they'll never feel satisfied. They'll never feel like you've done enough. And you can get hooked on a crazy cycle where you just become addicted to trying to please them. And you're never going to do it anyway. Like, they are just humanly a dissatisfied person. So when you fill up your clientele with these people, you will die. Bottom line, you will die. So what do, right? Well, think about what you are first, because you are a client of somebody else. Like, you pay somebody to do business, whether it's your yard work or the cashier in line. Like, you are also a consumer on some level. So let me ask you a question. What client are you? Are you high maintenance? Are you low maintenance? Are you high profit? Are you low profit? It's a great question. because we don't get what we get who we are. So if we ourselves are the most difficult clients in the world and we cause all kinds of people headaches and all kinds of people drama, you know what? Maybe, I'm not saying all the time, trust me, but I'm just saying, let's hold up a mirror first and say, what kind of client am I? And again, I'm not saying if you have high maintenance clients, you are high maintenance. Trust me, I'm not saying that, but I am saying that's where we need to start. Before we look out the window to blame others, we need to look in the mirror. So one of the things I try to do is I try to myself be a really good client. Now, again, I don't always consciously think about it and focus on it, but when I am thinking, when I am focused, I try to be life-giving. I try to be that plus sign so that when people see my number show up on their phone, or when people get my message in their email inbox, I hope they're like, sweet, it's Carrie. Awesome. Now, you might say, what are you even talking about, Carrie? Well, we all give off what's called a frequency. And frequency is something that you might not believe exists, but take any two females who are in a grocery store and there's a creepy guy in aisle 5, and they will turn to each other and they will say, that guy in aisle 5 is giving me a bad what? A bad vibe. Vibe is short for vibration. In other words, they're using the English language or whatever language they're talking in, and they're saying, that guy's giving me a bad frequency. In other words, people broadcast vibrations and people receive vibrations. You might say, Carrie, what are you talking about? Look, all you need to do is do certain word choices in your subject line. If you send somebody an email that says, what's your problem in the subject line, that that email is charged with certain vibrations. And as a result, it's going to create an emotion. And we all need to be aware and conscious that we are broadcasting frequencies and receiving frequencies from others. What I try to do often is broadcast a frequency of belief. Because a lot of times clients, when they first start out, they don't believe in themselves. They don't have the belief that they can do it. And so just today, you know, when I was speaking at the Igniting Souls Fellowship, which is our once a month free event in Columbus, Ohio. You should come if you can. It's fantastic. We had a blast. But anyways, one client stood up and said, you know what, Carrie, when I first started your program with Author Academy Elite, I didn't have belief in myself. This was a girl named Erica. I won't say her last name, Protector. But she said, I didn't have any belief in myself. And I sensed your belief in me and I borrowed your belief. And as a result, I am where I am today. And Erica is crushing it with her book. Her book is going to do wonders for so many single moms. So I give off belief and therefore I attract clients who need somebody to believe in them. That is intentional. I don't want somebody who's a client who's cranked up, arrogant, you know, what are you going to teach me? I already know everything. That's not who I attract. I don't want that type of client because you're always going to disappoint them. That's a high maintenance client. So as a result, I will actually discourage certain people. And you might say, well, Carrie, can you really deny your services? Absolutely. Especially with high-level programs, apply only is a great strategy where people have to apply to be part of the program. Colleges don't just accept everybody. The military doesn't just accept everybody. So what? It makes them feel special. There are guidelines. There are qualifications. And as a result, you actually create the culture of your college or your company or the military because you have filters and guidelines. If you just say, hey, I'll take anybody and anybody come over here, it may sound benevolent, but you actually discourage and repel the high performers. You want a culture of high performance? You, number one, become a high performer yourself because nobody follows people less than them. What do I mean by that? Law of the lid, which says that if you are a 7 on the high performance scale, you're not going to attract 9s. 9s are going to look at you and be like, I could lap that guy. They're not going to pay you. So this is where, how do you attract higher level clients? You become a higher level person. Bottom line. So think about that matrix again, back to those squares. I want you to think of names and faces, right? And what's going to be very interesting is that some of you will actually put on your little grid there and say, you know what, Carrie? I have no clients who are high profit and low maintenance. Okay, great. That's a goal. Your goal is actually to move people from low profit, high maintenance to high profit, high maintenance. You can do that through adding a new program, increasing your next offer. So in other words, let's say you start with a basic coaching package that, again, was low profit, easy buy, but it attracted some high maintenance people. Okay, great. Now you say, you know what? If these people are high maintenance, at least I'm going to charge them more. So that's kind of like step one for a lot of people where they begin. Now, that's kind of if you already have those types of clients. I would say never try to attract high maintenance clients. Because why? You just don't have enough energy. You don't have enough life force to support these people. You just don't. So yeah, if you want, if you're independently wealthy and you've won the lottery, okay, great. You can take on high maintenance clients for low profit, but most people can't afford it financially or mentally. So again, you know, maybe you have a bunch, but you move them into a high profit, high maintenance. Then eventually it's even better to have low maintenance, low profit. Why? Because it's scalable. You can have, look at Walmart. Walmart has low profits, right? I mean, they just do. They're not marking up things drastically, but they have extremely high volume. So there's tons of business models out there that have low profit, but also low maintenance. Everything systematized, everything structured, but eventually you would love to have people that are high profits and low maintenance. Now, I'm going to ruffle a few feathers here. I've talked with a lot of people, a lot of rock stars in the industry, and kind of the inside secret, if you want to know this, I'm just sorry, but this is the insider secret that kind of the rock stars in the industry talk about and know about. Usually, the higher the profit, the lower maintenance the person. It's just weird, folks. I know that. It's not always the truth. So trust me, it's not always the truth. There's always exceptions. But a lot of times, people that have high-paying masterminds, the clients in there are rock stars. And they want to grow better. And as a result, they already get all the rules, if you will. Like, here is not what you want to do. If you join someone's program and they send you a welcome email that says, hey, thanks for joining the program. Here's what you should do. Step one, boom. Step two, boom. Or here's a welcome video that explains everything. Then you shoot back an email before you even read the welcome email and say, what's going on? You know, what am I supposed to do? And then you send back another email. Where's my login? You know? And then you send back another email. Where's the welcome video? Like, this is stuff that very early on, you actually create a frequency. And what would be better is if somebody sends you a welcome email, read it. Like, actually stop and read it. And then when you read it, you say, oh, okay. They're A, thankful that I'm here. That's cool. They B, recorded a video. Sweet. They C, sent me a username and password. Awesome. They D, told me what the next steps are. They F, you know, invited me into their private Facebook group, whatever. Folks, a lot of times, the clients just need to read it. Now, in today's world, there is a lot of people who, quote, aren't tech savvy, and they'll tell themselves that. So one of the things that you can do is just walk around in life and say, I'm not tech savvy, and then expect the world to work around you. Guess what? I'm not tech savvy either. And you might say, Carrie, that's crazy. What are you talking about? You do all this stuff and da 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 da. You know what? But my brain doesn't naturally work that way. All right? I'm much more of the creative type. Now, I can also be organized and structured. So I kind of have this both dual brain, but I just don't love numbers or technology or taxes or a lot of that stuff. So one of the things I like to do is solve the problem for myself. Why? Because most of the time, people don't know it. But when I join someone's program, when I learn from them, I'm always thinking, like, are they a future partner? Like, literally, why not? If I'm going to learn from someone and be mentored by them, I'm thinking in the back of my mind, you know what? Someday, be cool if they were a business partner, maybe. Now, not all the time. Or it'd be cool to collaborate on that project. Or it'd be cool to do something, product launch, joint venture, something like that. So what I do is I don't ask them dumb questions. In other words, I go to YouTube. And if YouTube says, you know, here's how to do something, I type in on YouTube, like, how do you do this? And I'm not saying that it's dumb to ask questions. No, but don't just go for yelling what you need right away. Like, if you are a client of somebody else's, I have the best clients in the world. Let me just brag about one guy recently. Super rock star. In fact, when people do this, I believe in people so much, almost too much. So this guy in our tribe, I just got to give a shout out to him by name. But what he did recently, his name is James D. Thomas. So James, hope you're out there. But one of our clients needed something, and it's not part of what we offer. It's not even a program. Like, they just had a tech question, and there's plenty of places that handle that. We're not in web hosting or any of this stuff. That's not what I offer. But anyway, James is part of the tribe, and he jumped in and said, let me help you. So James D. Thomas, I got to give you a shout out, because I'll tell you what, this guy gets my attention. You want to get somebody's attention, be a giver. So what did I do? In 2 seconds, I emailed James, and I was like, sweet, man. So first of all, I said, thanks for doing that. I told him I noticed what he did. So if you're a tribe leader, thank the people who are rock stars. Thank the people who are gracious. Promote those people, because what that does is it fosters a spirit of generosity, helpfulness, gratitude, victorhood, not victimhood, right? Like, what you celebrate gets replicated. So If you want to celebrate drama, you'll get more drama. If you want to celebrate people who are givers, you'll get more givers. So I shot James a message, and what else I told James was like, dude, I'm watching you, and someday down the line, I'm going to shoot some business your way. Like for free, right? Next time somebody needs help, I'm going to be like, go talk to James. Or maybe down the road, if it became super official, I would just tell James, hey, we want to become an affiliate. We'll push people your way. And if we do, you know, give us an affiliate link or something like that. Like that's how you can earn extra income too, is have really good people in your quote Rolodex or your contacts. That's one of the things I aim to do, is have rock stars, specialists in my Rolodex, so that when someone needs something, not only am I helpful and resourceful for what I can offer them, but if I can't offer them something, one of the best things you can do is be super slick at referrals, whether you get paid or not, to just be like, oh, you should talk to Julie. She's fantastic. You should talk to Sally, or, you know, whatever, Skylar, Kevin, talk to these people. They're geniuses. And what that does is it actually makes you a magnet. Other high profile people begin to want to serve you. Now, another shout out. I mean, folks, I'm just sharing my heart today. I always share my heart, but here's the strategy, okay? So recently, this has happened to me several times now, where I'm flying into a city. Again, I don't travel that much, but this just happened recently, and then it happened a year ago. People that I quote know of, I mean, I don't know them, but like I know of them, I've met them. They're not like super tight, but I know of them. Somehow they find out that I'm going to be flying into their city. And I don't know how, but whatever. It's a small world we live in, or maybe they know I'm coming into a conference or something like that. They'll direct message me privately and they'll say, hey, I'm going to pick you up at the airport if you want. Take your bags, drive you to your hotel, whatever I can do. That's happened a few times to me so far. Like people that aren't freaky or scary. And I'm, again, if you're a female and that's not smart to do, probably not. I get it. But whatever. This is just an example of like, do you want to get, if you are a client, and I know I go way into this more in depth in episodes 25, 26, and 27 about how to get people to partner with you, how to collaborate, how to partner up, all this stuff. How do you get big fish to partner with you? But so far, people who've done this for me without an ulterior motive, like because I love to give to others, when people do that for me, it's like shocking and it gets my attention. So a few of these people who've done this, like they didn't have to do that. You know, and I could have dropped whatever, $30 for Uber or whatever. But just the fact that they're going to go to an airport and wait and help pick up my bags, like that's crazy. I would not, like time is precious to me, okay? So when someone says I'm going to invest my time just to help you with no strings attached, I'm sorry, but I'm a sucker for that. It's like, wow, sweet, you're amazing, fantastic. What can I do for you? Here's what I've realized. Super generous people, super gracious people, super abundantly minded people, you want these people to be your clients. So how do you do that? You become that person. Like if that's the major theme of the day, it's if you don't have stellar clients, look in the mirror. I know that hurts. I know that's crazy, but that's where you start first. So how do you fire a client? You just call them up and say you're done? No, I think you'd be a truth teller. There are certain people that aren't worth it to tell them why you're firing them. Why? Because you've tried like 3, 4, 5, 6 times. I always give people the benefit of the doubt. But if you've given people a bunch of tries and ways that they can remain, if that's their goal, and they still don't get it, then release them. Release them quickly. I've even released people and refunded them 100%. And said, you know what? I don't think this is the best fit. I know I've given you like crazy value and service, but here's a full refund. I'd rather have people not feeling like they got ripped off or gypped or this type of thing. I'd rather have people like go with a pocket full of cash and not, you know, I mean, just whatever. Now, if it's someone who I have a relationship with and I really feel like they could grow from some truth telling, I do this often, not often, but like if there's someone who's just killing themselves and they don't get it and I care about them because I know like I care about people. So if someone's just failing with a blind spot over and over and over again, be willing to risk truth. Be a truth teller. And just tell these people, I would start with this. Hey, Jimmy. I'm sorry I'm using Jimmy today. But hey, Jimmy, I know you've been a client for a while. And how do you feel about it? You know, ask them to dialogue. They might say, well, I love it. I love working with you, or I love being in your program or whatever. You might say, fantastic. You know what, Jimmy? I see so much in you. I really do. I see the fact that you could be doing laps around so many other people, but there's a few things that are just not quite dialed in to the best of your ability. There's a few blind spots. And we can either go one of two ways. We can either just ignore those, and what I'll do is I'll basically refund you, or, you know, however you want to lay that part out. But you might say, but Jimmy, I'd love to believe that you can close these gaps. And you might not be aware, but when you do this, this, and this, here's how it comes off. Here's how it translates. Here's how it affects the rest of the tribe. And when you do that to this person, they love you for it. Now, if they say you're an idiot, cuss you out, fine. Guess what? They didn't learn. They're not getting it. And not everyone does learn. But when you honor people enough to tell them the truth, they can then grow. As someone who's a people developer, someone who's been developed by other people, other truth tellers, other mentors, when I've had people have those tough conversations with me, I've appreciated and respected them more for it than just gossiping behind my back. And what it does is actually, I pause, I reflect, I think, I don't respond. I say, thanks for sharing that. I need to think about it. And as I chew around, you know, with that bit of truth they told me, many times they're absolutely right. And I do have a blind spot. And I go to them and I say, you know what? You are absolutely right. And I was out of line. And I do want to continue the relationship. And I do want to continue to be a client. And here's my plan of action. And you have my full permission that if you see it again, call me out right away. Like, that is healthy. That, folks, will light your fire. So I hope this has been helpful for you. I hope that you have learned how to get the right clients, how to look for the right clients, how to create a culture of clients that you actually desire, how to move people through the grid where they start out maybe as high maintenance people, but then you move them into a more synergistic relationship. I hope you've learned that. How do you attract bigger fish? You become the rock star client yourself. So folks, I had a blast. More good things are coming. We got next week's podcast, I believe, is going to be on how do you sustain high performance in work and life. So this is going to be pulling back the curtain, sharing all the stuff I do to keep functioning at a very high level. And it deals with everything. Eating, food, sleep, disciplines, technology, system, structure. I think it's going to be so practical. We just had today 5 people sign up for the Igniting Souls Conference. So folks, we are more people now today in April for October's conference than we were at the conference in October last year. Are you catching what I'm saying? April. That's like, I don't even know, what is that, 4 months? So that's, the conference is 6 months away and we are already at the same level of attendance that we were last year. So what does that tell me? It's going to be a sellout and the prices are only going to increase. So what does that mean? We have people from Australia coming, and her name is Amy Jo. We have people from Scotland coming, named Roddy, British Columbia. I mean, boom, 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 boom. All the people, right? Love it. The conference theme is called Becoming Unhackable. Becoming Unhackable. It is going to be a culmination of 2 years of my exploration in neuroscience, human performance, mind, physiology, like everything that you can think of related to ideation, which means how do you create ideas, and then implementation, and how people have the process hacked. In other words, there's a gap for most people. You don't just have an idea and then implement. There's a gap that exists. And that's a shame, because what that does is it wastes time and resources. What if you were able to have an idea and then implement it without a gap? That would be crazy amazing. So you have an idea to lose weight, then you actually lose weight. You have an idea to fix the relationship that's not working, then you do it. Why doesn't that happen? Because of certain things that hack the process. And as I've explored for the last 2 years, and then have turned this into identifiable hacks, and then how do you shore up those gaps? Folks, this is going to be a crazy framework for you to take in your whole life. Business, health, relationships, becoming unhackable. So I absolutely want you to come to the conference. The rates are still super early bird, but for a very short window, IgnitingSoulsConference.com. IgnitingSoulsConference.com. And the conference includes 4 meals, 2 days of transformation, all your content, your workbook, your manual, the relationships that you're going to learn, the net that you're going to gain, the networking, the speakers that are coming. Folks, this is something that is not a hype conference. I hate hype conferences. Stand in your seats, dance around, you know, look, people who come to this are leaving family members to come. They are investing dollars. I take that very seriously. That says, you know what? I need to 10x the return on that investment. I hate going to a conference personally where I'm not wowed. And it's happened so few times where I'm not wowed, but it's happened a few times. And I call my wife and I'm like, what is going on? Like, I should come home, right? But then there's been other conferences where I say, I cannot believe how little they charge for what I implemented. I've left certain conferences, folks, where I've taken an idea or a relationship that I, you know, I met somebody there who became key in the business. And it literally has turned into six-figure, multiple six-figure products, services, JV, we call that joint venture relationships, ideas, book ideas, chapters in books, pivotal pieces, breakthrough pieces. You cannot underestimate the power of a conference. It's the difference between watching it, right? Watching it on your TV, the sports game, and then sitting in the front row. Totally different feeling. You know it. And when you're especially at a championship game, like the game, like that you can't miss, like the game of the century, and you're in the front row, and you're with your friends, and there's food, and there's growth, and there's, you know, it's crazy. You cannot duplicate that. So whenever I feel like I'm supposed to do something, here's what I do, and here's what successful people do. When something resonates with you, you don't ask the question, how much does it cost? How much does it cost if I go? Here's what you ask yourself. How much does it cost if I miss it? Like, that's what shifted in my life 5 years ago when I went from just kind of writing as a hobby, as some extra Christmas money, to literally crushing it and creating multiple brands, over 100 coaches all over the world that are certified on my content. Like, you name it. What changed? When something resonated with me and my spirit and I knew I was supposed to do something, I would have a chat with my wife and I would say, Kelly, here's why I think I should do this. And here's what I think is the cost if I don't go. And I'm telling you, folks, there's been a time or two. I remember, it's really weird, but I remember, and I don't bring things to her all the time on purpose. Like, I don't like to be gone. I love my family. I love creating the life where I can just pop in my office and be connected to clients all over the world. I don't like hopping on planes every day. I don't travel that much on purpose. Now, with my family, I do, because it's fun to share memories with them. But I remember her saying with one conference, like, I don't think you should go. I just don't think you should go. And I kind of felt like, well, why? But I respected her. And for some reason, I didn't go, even though I felt like I should go. And that was cool, you know? But most of the time, she sees it and she says, you know what? I get it. If you think you should be there. So when I'm there away from the family to go to that conference, like, I am full on. I am absolutely full on so that I can be absolutely full on when I come back. And a few conferences, I'm texting David and I say, David, I can't believe I'm in the room learning this and here's how this is going to be. And there was one conference a few years ago where I was drinking from the fire hydrant so much that I said, David, we need to shift this and change this and do this. And he did it. You know, by the time I landed on the return home, like, we had already implemented practical and key ideas. That's what this conference, that's what every Igniting Souls conference is. It's so that you can make radical shifts immediately. No hype. So folks, I want to see you there. I want to meet you. I want to see the Igniting Souls tribe. This is the one time we gather once a year, once per year. So if you're not in the room, you're going to be missing out. I want you to come. And grab some of those free gifts, mybookhook.com. Love to coach you for 7 days on your killer book idea. And then don't forget about this Wednesday. Text publish to 33444. All right, folks. It was a blast. Awesome, good stuff. Go find those killer, cool clients. And how do you do that? You become one. This is Carrie Oberbrunner. Be a soul on fire.